Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 7, and I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. Now, let's give a brief recap of where we've been and what we're doing. We are looking at sanctification. Now, in the Christian life, you are called to grow in the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first Sunday, we looked at, well, what is sanctification? And it sort of answered the question of, do I need to change in my life? And yes, you do. Throughout the Christian life, you should be looking more and more like Jesus Christ. The next Sunday, we looked at the help you have. And the question would be, well, am I alone in trying to become more like Jesus? And the answer is no. Yes, you are involved, but you have the Holy Spirit who works in your hearts to make you more like Jesus. And today, we're going to sort of look at the psychology of sanctification. What is the experience of it in our lives? Now, we're in the book of Romans. Paul starts out telling us about the problem of humanity. It is sin. He tells us about justification, how we're made right with God. And then, in the sections we're in now, he's telling us what that looks like as it works out in our life. And pay careful attention to what Paul is going through in his own life. Let's read what God's word says, beginning in verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Let's pray and ask God to bless what we have just read. Jesus, we come to you now as your people, and we need to know how to live. And oftentimes we get so confused. We have these ideals of what the Christian life should be like, and we are not very realistic. But may we look today at not only what we actually face, but your grace to help us. I make this prayer in your name. Amen. How would you describe the Christian life? Would you describe it as a cruise ship or a battleship? Would you describe it as a sports car or a World War II Jeep? Would you describe the Christian life as a 747 or a B-52? Notice what I'm saying there. There's this dichotomy.
On the one hand, we think maybe the Christian life should be pleasant sailing, no problems, always at peace. Or is there conflict? Is there a war going on? And many people today forget the Christian life is a fight, a brawl, a battle. Remember, years ago, at least if you're of the older crowd, there was a TV show called Combat. That is a perfect description of what you and I as believers have to face. And once again, there's a lot of false views out there. There are some who would say, well, in sanctification, you're already saved. Don't worry about fighting against sin. It doesn't matter. Live as you please. You're saved. That's not in the Bible. There are others who may say, you don't sin anymore. And I've had people tell me that. They don't sin. You don't sin? Guess you don't need Jesus then. Never mind, Scripture says all have sinned. Never mind, Scripture says if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. But there are some people who think they don't sin, so they're not too worried about sanctification or growing to be more like Jesus. And then there are others who say it's all up to you. You need to do it all. Just do it. And if you have any struggles in your life, problem is with you. And there are some people where you go into the Bible study and you will say such things as, well, I'm really struggling with this. And what do they do? Well, I don't struggle with that. I can't believe you said that. You must not be a true Christian if you struggle with sin and temptation. Or there's what the pastor will say sometimes, who doesn't take your struggle seriously, take two Bible verses and see me in the morning. Now those are things that actually do happen to Christians. But what does the Bible say? Is any of that right? No, it's all wrong. And what Paul has just told us here is that the life of faith is one of a struggle against sin. It's a fight. It's a fray. It's a flap. It's discord. It's a dispute. It's differences. Why? Because even though we are saved by grace and we are looking more and more like Jesus, sin still remains. And that sin can be very, very ugly. And here, Paul gives us a psychology of faith, the normal operating procedures for a Christian. And it is one of war. Look at what he says here. And let me just tell you plainly, this is why I say you're at war. If you look at verse 23, it says, I see another law at work waging war. It goes on to say, it's making me a prisoner of the law of sin. In the New Testament and ancient literature, those were terms that were used of soldiers and of warfare. Why else does Paul say put on the whole armor of God? Because you're in conflict with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You've got to take it seriously. That there is a real struggle. Now, let's begin here, and let's be honest with each other, because you want to know the problem that a lot of us have, and it creates psychological problems? We're not realistic. We are not realistic about life. We have all these grand ideas about how life should be lived, and they're not based in reality. We want a Disney lifestyle, but yet that's not what we're going to get. And I want you to take a look at the world today and look at the conflict that is there. You can look at the big picture and we can think of the war that is going on in Palestine or with Iran.
We can move over into Europe, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And there are other parts of the world as well, China, India, they're at each other's throats. We can move to the problems that people within a particular country have. There's conflict all over the place with nations, but also with families, with business. There's conflict and you can't escape from it. Globally, locally, and even in your heart, there can be a conflict. It's there. You can't escape it. I remember back in the 1990s when the Gulf War started. The news was interviewing recruits, people who had just gone in the military. And what surprised me was one interview where the young lady who was in the military said, "I can't believe it. I didn't think when I joined the military I'd have to go to war." You're thinking to yourself, well, then what do you think armies and navies do? They get in battle. And that is something that's going to happen. But you know, in the Christian life, that's the same way. Did you become a Christian and think you'd never have any more problems, that all of a sudden all your problems would be dealt with? Think of what the Bible actually says. What happened after Adam and Eve fell? Conflict. Notice the curse. Adam would have conflict with the soil and his work. Eve would have conflict with her husband. And all of humanity is going to have a conflict with Satan. Immediately after the fall, what do you have? The conflict between Cain and Abel, which led to murder. Look at what happened to God's people. Conflict with Egypt, the Philistines, the Canaanites, Babylon, Assyria, and eventually Rome. It's written in the Bible. And if you look into the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, ultimately, they all have some sort of problem. There's some sort of conflict going on that he's got to address. We all say, let's go back to that New Testament era. There was conflict. You really want to go back to that? Conflict. It's there. And what you need to be aware of is that you should not be naive about it. If for some reason you want to join a church and think it's going to be perfect, think again. There is no such thing as a perfect church. There's going to be some sort of conflict, tension. Beware also of those who are hyper pious, who look down at you simply because you struggle with sin. After reading this, what would they say to the Apostle Paul? Jesus was tempted. He had conflicts with Satan. Don't be naive. And a church is not helping you if it does not take that conflict seriously and promises you pious truths that are not based in reality. Beware of that. Beware of it, because there is conflict. And your battle is going to be within your soul, against sin. Outwardly, you may be persecuted, and certainly Christians are around the world. But there is a far weightier battle that goes on inside of you. Reading this passage, I wanted you to notice the conflict with Paul. Conflict with the law. Look at that in verse 14. What does he say? We know the law is spiritual, but I'm what? Unspiritual. The law is good. Paul says he is not so good. Notice what he says in verse 16. I think this describes a lot of us.
And if I do what I do not want to do, in other words, he's trying to do the right thing, but he fails, I agree that the law is good. The law is not the problem. Paul says the law is good. The law tells you the right way to live, a prosperous way to live, a way that God approves of. But what's the problem? It is our very dispositions which tell us, I don't want to obey the law. I don't care if it is good. I want to do what I want to do. That is the sinful flesh at work in you. It is the disposition of the human heart. And the conflict you will have will be between you and the law of God. Even those parts which seem to be cutting and tough to follow. It's not the law. It's your heart. And notice the conflict that Paul has not only with the law, but with his very self. In verse 15, he says, I do not understand what I do. He's sitting here trying to figure out the Christian life. He knows what to do, and he thinks he wants to do it, but then he can't do it. And he's trying to say to himself, I don't understand, Lord. What's going on with inside of me? And in fact, he is so bold in verses 17 and 18. He says, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. He's saying, it's not me. It's a sin within me. This is corrupting me. I may be saved, but I am not perfect. And that sinful nature is still there. And in verse 19, he repeats it again. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do. That is part of the conflict. Have you heard about the Indian who went to see the psychologist? He told the psychologist, sometimes I think I'm a wigwam, sometimes I think I'm a teepee. The psychologist said, the problem is you're too tense. Oh, come on, that was one of my better jokes. I've been saving that one. Now, we often talk about split personalities. Paul here does not have a split personality, but he is realizing that there is a war within him. And there's almost two sides to him. The good that I want to do and the evil that I don't. And it's so bad, Paul is saying, it's the evil that is inside of me that's got me. And it's not only that, it's the conflict that he has with slavery. He comes out and basically says, I'm a slave to sin. I can't get over it. He says that in verse 14 and again in verse 23, where he cries out, wretched man that I am, who can save me from all this? Because I am a sinner and I don't seem to be able to get over it. That's the life of Paul. Do you see his inner conflict? Now, we may think that's not standard operating procedure, and I would say to you, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Have you felt that conflict inside of you? When you want to do what is right, but there is something that is dragging you away. And you will notice it in flashpoints. Now, let me tell you how flashpoints work. Let's just say you get up in the morning to read your Bible. Nice cup of coffee. You are having a spiritually glorious time, and the Holy Spirit has told you things in Scripture. You get in the car, no traffic problems, you get to work. Everything is going great. And then your boss or the principal comes around the corner and says something that is stupid, foolish, wrong. And at that point, sin rears its ugly head. And right then, you want to tell them what you think. And using all those dirty little four-letter words that come to mind. That's one instance.
But it's these flashpoints. You're driving down the road, then all of a sudden somebody cuts in front of you. What do you want to do? Kill them. Run over them. Flashpoints. Things are smooth sailing. Life is like the Disney cruise. But then you got those hoodie rebels who come out of nowhere after you. That's what the Christian life is like. And even when you think you are doing something good, like preaching the gospel, oh, Satan is right there too, playing on your pride. Here's another flashpoint. You look at your Facebook account. Oh, someone has just gone on this wonderful trip. And you look at that and you start thinking to yourself, that's not right. What about me? Haven't I been a good person? Jealousy. It's right there. And we all know it. Oh, you may think you're pious, but don't worry, those flash points will come. And you might even grow weary of the fight like any trooper would who's on the front. And let me tell you, at times, you will lose the fight. Paul obviously does. He even says at one point, I'm the chief of sinners. I am the foremost of sinners. All have sinned, including him. And he says here, he is a prisoner of sin. You will sin. There is a battle going on. You will win the war, but you may lose some battles. You want to know what a good picture of the Christian life is like? Do you remember those World War II movies where you would have the bombers coming in after a raid over Europe? They would have the holes in the hull from the anti-aircraft fire. Engines weren't working. They didn't look like very pretty airplanes, but they have a very rough landing and they make it. That's like you. We're going to get shot up in this life by sin and the devil. But we will make it. Even though at times we will fail. Just like David did. Just like Peter did. Just like Paul did. But always keep in mind with those failures in your sanctification, one day you will win. And notice the cry again, the two cries that we find in this passage. In verse 24, oh, what a wretched man I am. Paul is saying, I'm a mess. What do we say today? A hot mess. He's a hot mess. He knows it. He knows what's in his heart. But then he goes on to say in verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. For Paul, every time he failed in his sanctification, he turned to Jesus Christ, who ultimately is our righteousness and our sanctification. That's who we look at. And you know, when we think of the sanctification process, here's what I've heard. That in the Christian life, you should be growing. You should have a growing sense of your sin, but also a growing sense of the grace of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you, who gave you his righteousness and sanctification so that you can be perfect in God's sight. You're going to take some damage. But thank God to Jesus Christ. Thank God. Christian, you're in a battle. Do you feel the conflict? Do you see it in your life? Do you see the battle that's for your soul? You're in a fight, but you will win because Christ is on our side. Let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that you will help us to take the battle seriously, to be cognizant of our own sin and shortcomings, and to turn to Jesus Christ in the midst of our struggles, relying on him, even in our failures, which are bound to come, because the scripture says, no one is righteous. We will sin. So we come to you, Lord Jesus, as our Savior, the leader of the armies of heaven. I make this prayer in his name. Amen.